verse in the ninth chapter, when it says, Michael, contending with the devil, spoke and said, "The Lord rebuke thee." I've heard some people saying we can't rebuke the devil or anything like that. We have to say, "The Lord rebuke you." But that's not good teaching.
No,
because
it's not
God
good
has
teaching.
Given us authority.
That is not good teaching. I'm glad you said that. Yeah. Now, that is good. Now, that is absolutely right. God, if we don't have authority, we do have authority over the devil. And Jesus rebuked the devil many times.
Yeah.
And he gave us the authority to rebuke the devil.
Same way. All the
so we need to, you can't cast out devils without rebuking the devil.
Right.
And we're supposed to cast out devils. Mm-hmm. So that is true.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we got that authority.
Gone out. Some people say you can't rebuke the devil. You have to say the Lord rebuke him. And I heard a minister, I heard a well-known prophet, you know. I'm like, what planet are y'all being on?
Yeah.
God giving us authority. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do like Michael. Michael was an angel.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's correct. You know,
but we have been given authority.
That's right. And Michael was an angel. We're a son of God.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
We have higher authority than Michael had against the enemy.
This is where they get that teaching from.
Yeah, well, bless their hearts.
Yeah. Yeah, we have all the power. We have authority over all the power.
Yes, we do.
Of the enemy.
Yes, we do.
That's why God told Paul when he was praying about his thorn in the flesh, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you."
Yeah.
And within the grace, we have everything we need,
yes,
including authority. God's not going to come down and rebuke Satan for me or anybody else.
That's for us to do.
Mm-hmm. And the grace is sufficient. You know, it's just like if God gave us a blank check, it's sufficient. You fill it out and there's cash.
Yep.
Same thing. Yeah,
I wondered, why didn't Michael rebuke him if I might have said that? So I never thought about that. He respected the authority that he once held.
Right.
And wouldn't do it. Interesting.
And he did it right. So in our, there are people, anointed people can fall. They can backslide, they can sin, they can do whatever
yes,
they want
to
do.
Yes,
a guy named Chris Lucas told me this. He said, "Thurston, now that you're a Christian, you don't have to sin anymore. Christians don't have to sin." And he explained it. I mean, I'm so glad that he shared that with me when I first got saved. He went to a good teaching church. And he said, Christians can sin, but they sin because they want to, not because the sin nature has been broken. You don't have to sin anymore.
And sometimes they're caught into something that sometimes they ensnare. Not just because they want to, but they've been snared by the enemy, or they believe something. It's not all time because they want to.
No, but they choose to. It's always a choice.
Yeah, sin is a choice, and sometimes you can do it by mistake or
habit,
misunderstanding or something. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we hurt one another's feelings and stuff and we don't even know it. That comes under sin. You know, we say little things to people that may hurt their feelings or may, offend them and stuff like that.
You go to stay living, that's a sin.
Huh?
If you go over the speed limit, that's a sin. The law of the land is full. Keith Copeland will not do it.
But we
accept that, don't we?
Well, you pay for it here if you get caught. You're going to pay for your...
But I mean, the law says 40 miles an hour and you go 50. Is that not breaking the law of the land?
I would disagree with that.
That's about choice. That was really about choice. When I was young, I didn't go under 85 miles an hour. I ran fast everywhere.
I still go
over
speeding if I can.
But when I got old, I stopped doing it. I said, I can get somebody hurt. But when I was in my 20s, I didn't let the pedal go. I just... Yeah. But you know, God worked with us. But you know, in memory, being when I was a sinner, there were things that you couldn't stop doing, no matter what, how hard you tried. But when once I believed on Jesus, you know, you didn't have to sin. I understood what Chris was saying. You know, you're not driven by it anymore. It's not in your nature.
You're not. If you're driven by it, I mean,
you need to get
wrong.
Saved.
No, you're not driven by it.
Now, the habit system and the way you think, that'll be changed by the Word of God. But it's not.
It has no more dominion over you.
You got a new spirit, so you have something to work with. And but anybody can choose to do wrong. That's what, when that's verse 4. I was thinking about verse 4 all week long. It says, for there were certain men crept in unawares who were before ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about the prophet Balaam. Now, in his discourse, he prophesied some of the same things that Isaiah prophesied and John prophesied in Revelation.
Right.
He even talked about the ships of Kittim, and I've been trying to study that.
Good luck, brother.
What?
The ships of Kittim.
If you ever find out, Duff, let me know. It's one of my favorite subjects myself.
Because they're going to send ships from Kittim, and it's going to trouble the beast and the false prophet. And he talked about this. But when, now he was really a prophet.
Yes, he was.
And back in Numbers chapter 22.
Is it Numbers 22?
Yeah.
Some of the greatest prophecies in the Bible.
Yeah. He, you know, I got to study his discourse. I said he prophesied some of the things, same things John prophesied. And, now, at first, he was obedient, but he turned. You know, the story of Balak came to him, and he sent, verse 5 said, he sent messengers, therefore, to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river in the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come up from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, or suppose I shall prevail, that we might smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. And so they went to Balaam. And verse 8 says, and he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Now watch verse 9. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? God was displeased with them. He knew what they were doing. And in the way God talked to Balaam, God was displeased with the way that they came. And verse 10 says, and Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there was a people come out of Egypt, which covers the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. So God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now that's enough right there.
Should have been the end of the story.
Yeah. So Balaam sent him away, and he sent him away in anger. You know, he sent him away. But Balak was desperate, and he sent people that were more honorable, people that that would make Balaam feel inferior. So Balaam started to take heed, and it started getting to him, and then he offered him silver and gold and things like that. And then he went and asked the Lord again. Now, Balaam, Verse 19 is where he started compromising. He said, "Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." The Lord has said enough in verse 12. But now he's asking the Lord because he's compromised. Now watch what happens. When I first read this, I thought God may have changed his mind. But God don't change his mind. Verse 20 says, "And God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." At this point, God knew that he had turned. And he repurposed him. And so now, because verse 21, "And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab." Now verse 22 says, "And God's anger was kindled because he went." God didn't change, but Balaam did. And this is sometimes people, they turn in their heart, and then God has to deal with it. And the Lord is not wasteful. You know, Lucifer did the same thing. He was an archangel. He was anointed of God to do a purpose, to bear light, to do a very important purpose. But when he became Satan, he was repurposed. He became a parasite. And ultimately, he'll be used to do, in essence, the same thing, but in reverse. Because Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years, Satan will be locked away. And the Lord's going to let him out to tempt whoever he will. And everything that's insincere will follow him. And the kingdom of God will be purged. But if he had been a light bearer, they may not have fallen in the first place. So now, Balaam is compromised. And God is going to kill him.
What do you think is making him compromise?
Money. The love of money. He changed his... See, when you change your focus, you change the whole dynamic. At first, he was only focused on the Lord. His eye was single and his body was full of light. But when Balaam got in the turn, when he got his eyes off God, he got it on Balak's money. And he saw the honorable people that came and the money and the promises. This man can make me wealthy. I'm sure God wouldn't mind if I'm wealthy. But his focus changed, so his message, everything about him changed. His message changed, his advice changed, his will changed. Everything follows with your focus. And that's why we have to stay in the love of God. Keep focus on him. All the blessings God give us, they're byproducts. All the blessings, the relationships we have, the people in our lives, they are byproducts of the love of God. If our focus can remain on God, everything will stay in order. And you can enjoy whatever you possess in greater ways and multiply it greater ways. A person that's married, they have a blessed marriage, but when you focus on the Lord, you can enjoy the marriage even greater. You can drive out Satan. You can see him coming. You won't, you know, the honorable men that Balak sent and all the messengers that he sent were weapons. They were weapons against the plan of God to turn that prophet. Now his anointing didn't leave because he prophesied the things that John and Isaiah prophesied after he had turned. His anointing was intact. But in chapter 25, I used to study how Jesus was upset because he taught Moab how to curse Israel. Look in verse 25, verse 1. It said, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab." Because in the discourse of his prophecy and his conversation with Balak, he said, "There's no enchantment against Israel. they have not, and he said some of the things that they didn't do. So now, in order to get them in Balak's trying to get God mad at them. He got them into fornication and whoredom. And Balak may not, I don't know if he realized what he said that gave Balak this knowledge or not. I don't even know if he ended up getting paid, but his heart still turned. And when you study the whole discourse, he caused a lot of problems for Israel through their, and this became Baal worship. This is where Baal worship came from. Get people in fornication, so to disconnect them from God, and then they'll serve a false god instead of God. This is what he started. This is by going with those desperate men. They were too desperate for him to be around with his anointing. They picked up something and they were able to use it against God. And then Moses, as we go on, he sent Mossad after him and they killed him. So he became an enemy to the Lord. And even though he was anointed. And so when the focus changed, everything changes with it. You can't, you know, you're going to obey what you trust. Whatever you focus on, that's where you put your most trust. So this is a heavy book, Jude, is.
But it's great. Very heavy.
It'll keep us safe and sound.
That's true.
And that's why I say, man, the more I understand, I said, Lord, I'm going to do all this in your heart. Whatever you want to do.
Glory to God.
That, you know. The fear of God's got to be, it's got to come back to the body.
Amen. Yes, amen, brother. Praise God.
Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the fear of God. I thank you for authority.
Glory to God.
And most of all, I thank you for the love that you share towards us, the love you train us with. Bless us to go all the way forward with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.